Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. The sun is actually coming out. Let us start our worship, prepare our hearts for the worship service by singing a hymn of preparation, which you will find in the top of the first sheet of your bulletin. Today begins probably one of the most significant weeks in the life of our church. And we are going to start that. Please read all the announcements in the bulletin because there's no way I can give you all of that information. We'll be here for quite a while if I do. So please read it. I would like to call to your attention, first of all, please register. And when the register goes down the pew, you may indicate on the register or in a card in the pews your intention to attend the Maundy Thursday service. I'd planned to go chronological order, but since some of you are already passing the register, I wanted to go on ahead and start with that. Our Maundy Thursday service is going to be very different this time. We're not going to have it in the sanctuary. It will take place in the fellowship hall. The meal is free. But it is critically important that if you intend to come, you need to indicate your presence because we need to have enough food. The meal is going to be patterned as closely as possible, of course, with the type of food that the disciples and the people who celebrated the actual Thursday night service in the past would have eaten. So please let the church office know. Emmy said you can email her, you can call her, put your name on the register. Whatever you do needs to be done by 5 o'clock on Monday for the Maundy Thursday service. We did a skit about it last week. It's going to be different. You will gather in the hall outside the fellowship hall and you will be given a ticket, those of you who have registered. So please let them know that you're going to come, that your intention is to come. Also, now I'll go back to chronology, immediately after the worship service today will be the Prayer Warriors Luncheon. Prayer Warriors will be dedicated today, and there will be a service, a luncheon afterwards for the Prayer Warriors to meet each other and to visit. So do come to the Prayer Warrior Luncheon immediately after the worship service. Also, rain or shine, there will be an Easter egg hunt this afternoon. Please gather in the fellowship hall around 1 o'clock and bring your Easter basket, okay? They had done a word that if it rained, it would be canceled. No, they have a rain plan. So do prepare and come for the Easter egg hunt this afternoon in the fellowship hall. Also, I think that gets pretty much everything. Don't forget the Maundy Thursday worship service. The Wednesday night, this week will be the Hot Wednesday service as usual. The same studies are available and the food is in the menu is in your bulletin. And the final mid-week Lenten worship service will be concluded at Emmanuel Lutheran this week on the regular schedule. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
morning. Please stand for the call to worship. Morning after morning, God grants us a new day. Wake up to the joys and challenges life presents.
This is the day God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
God equips us to face whatever the day may hold. Watch and listen as God offers to teach us.
We gather seeking a blessing in the name of God. We come in God with the gift of salvation.
See the gates of righteousness thrown open for us. Enter to praise God's marvelous works.
God's steadfast love endures forever. Blessed is the one who comes in God's name.
Thank you. Please be seated. Come, all who are waving branches, to welcome the Savior. When the light shines on us, we see the shadows we create. We sense our need for a faith more deeply grounded and a love more fully committed. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent and personal confession. We confess, O God, that we identify with times of optimism and applause. We like a religion that makes us feel good. We prefer safety and security and certainty. Then Jesus comes, riding on a donkey, reaching out to outsiders, proclaiming humble obedience as a virtue, challenging powerful people to change their ways. We sense danger. When Christ upsets our cravings for stability, we turn away from the risk. We do not want to be rejected or face a cross. We can only look to you to save us from ourselves. O God, help us.
God contends with us in our fears, identifies our rebellion, and transforms our contrition into courage. Our Creator does not give up on us when we are discouraged or reject us when our pretensions get out of hand. God, who exalted Jesus, is ready to forgive and lift us up. Christ walks with us on the way of faithfulness, empowering us to become the disciples we are called to be. Amen. I invite Charlie West to come forward for a prayer warrior moment, a vital ministry of this congregation.
Good morning. Just a brief moment. On the back of one of our inserts, we have a complete history of the prayer warrior program. Please read that. I won't take up your time with the history. And also in the pew, you'll find a slip of paper, a blue slip, that you can join us. We would love to have you. I first became involved in the program 2 years ago after a young man who had been a recipient of a prayer warrior came up and now decides he wants to be a prayer warrior. So any program that is self-perpetuating has got to be a good program in my mind. So if you would, please consider. We're going to get ready to dedicate in just a few minutes, or a couple of seconds actually, and please consider joining us in the Prayer Warrior program. We need you. Thank you very much.
On the other side of what Charlie was referring to with the history is a litany. I call that to your attention now. And for some of you who are not familiar with this ministry or what it means or think the name is sort of strange, you know, life is not a walk in the park. And the Prayer Warrior Ministry surrounds our children and our youth with prayer as they walk through the skirmishes, the temptations, the dangers that face us all as we journey through life. Join me now in this litany for prayer warriors. Christians know the power of prayer. We know that we have a loving God who cares for each of us. We know our God listens through our prayers to our deepest concerns. We know that God answers our prayers. And I was supposed to ask my prayer warriors to stand before now. I'll do it now. Prayer warriors, please stand. Those of you who are standing where you are, Each of you standing has volunteered to become prayer warriors for Main Street United Methodist Church. You have offered to give a part of your personal prayer life and dedicate it to the welfare of a very precious part of this body of Christ, and that is the children of our church. Together, you prayer warriors are to pray for every child in this church every day by name. In doing so, you freely give a gift to our children, knowledge that someone who may not even personally know them is praying for them out of Christian love and dedication. There is no better example to show that the church is the body of Christ and that all its parts are bound together in love. And now, prayer warriors, I ask you, do you promise that you will pray for the welfare of our children? Do you agree that each day you will pray by name for the children assigned to you, that they may grow in the way of Christ? If asked, will you take your child's special concerns to your heart and raise them in prayer? Above all, will you do these things in Christian love, knowing that prayer is a powerful force in seeking God's direction for our children? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will? Remain standing. Now that we might accomplish what we hope to accomplish, I would like to call upon the entire church so that those of you who are seated might remember those who are standing, that this church might become prayer warriors for Christ. If you are able, I would ask the rest of you to stand and pledge yourselves to pray for those who have been standing all along. Now, those of you who stand beside your brothers and sisters in Christ, will you promise to pray for these each day and every day? If so, will you say, with God's grace, I will.
With God's grace, I will.
So be it. Please be seated.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 19th chapter, and verses 28 through 40. This will be found on page 101 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. This is a story that we can always remember, and it's in our hearts, and the children just kind of depicted it as they came up with the palms. But this is when Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Let us hear God's word. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. "Go into the village over there," he told them, "and you will enter, and you will see a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to here. If anyone asks you, what are you doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on the colt over so that he could ride on them. When the crowd spread out their colts and on the road before Jesus, they reached the place where the road started down toward the Mount of Olives. All of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, please rebuke your followers for saying these things." And he replied, If they kept quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers." The word of God for the people of God.
Oh, Zion,
As we come to our time of prayer, let me lift up in a special way Darwin Schlesing, who is back in the hospital, Mildred Gallagly in hospital, Betty Staples in the rehab hospital recovering, and your personal and private concerns. I encourage you to lift up in our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we have heard and we have said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. We have cheered you with joy and we have walked away in disinterest. And we have sometimes opposed you with self-interest as you called us to places we did not want to go. How can we obey you and take up our cross and follow you when we follow from such a distance? Lord, we do pray to discern where you are leading us now. In your mercy, through the darkness, from what sometimes seems so far away, where are you leading us now? And yet we do come to praise you as Lord and God. We do seek to follow you through fear and uncertainty, even when the costs are great. You have come to us and done for us what we could not do for ourselves. You have opened the doors beyond sin and death and poured out your mercy and grace upon us. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. Forgive us that we still need your mercy and grace every day. Lord, every day we wake and we do seek to follow. Give us your Holy Spirit to follow more closely and to reflect more perfectly the love and light that you revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Cost what it may, in times of cheering and in times when it is dangerous to cheer, give us voice and courage to say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And now, Lord, we do pray our private prayers for ourselves and our families and for this family in Christ, this church and its mission and ministry. And for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, who grieve the loss of financial security and jobs. For the victims of earthquake and storm and disease and disorder. And for the leaders of the nations of the world, we do pray that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, in this holy moment, we do lift up our private prayers in silence in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Okay, would all y'all stand up for me? We're going to stand up this morning. We got some more coming. How y'all doing today? Everybody fine? Great, great. Okay, in athletics, there's a phrase that we use quite often. In fact, Preacher Jim and I were talking about that just last week. But that phrase is, victory has many fathers, defeat is an orphan. Victory has many fathers, defeat's an orphan. And what that means is when you win and your teams are successful, everybody wants to be a part of it. But when you're not doing very well, everybody wants to go and leave. So I want everybody to come right in here. We're going to do a cheer right here. Everybody come close. Come on in. Everybody come close. All right, now what we want to do, just as loud as we can, let's go, yeah, 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 yeah. One, two, three. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, we're having a cheer. And that's what happens when your team is winning, there's a cheer. Well, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, when Jesus, just as you were doing when you came down the aisle today, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, everybody was cheering. Everybody was excited. They were throwing their coats down on the ground for the donkey to go across. They were palm branches. They were throwing them. Everybody was excited. They were cheering. But then remember what happened on Friday when Jesus was going to be crucified. Now I want all of y'all to start walking somewhere in the church. Just start walking anywhere you want to go. Just start walking up the aisle, wherever you want to go, start walking. Just wherever you want to go, start walking. Just keep on. That's good. That's good. Because remember, now, start coming back toward me. Vivi, start coming back. Remember on Friday when Jesus was carrying his cross to go be crucified, what happened? Everybody left him. Everybody deserted. Everybody walked away. Even his closest disciples left him. Thrill of victory, agony of defeat. When Jesus was going to be crucified, everybody left. But remember this, sometimes we may also turn our back on Jesus. Sometimes we may get upset. But did Jesus ever stop loving his disciples? No. He never stopped loving them. Even though they went away, he continued to love them. Remember, Jesus will always love us. He will never stop loving us. Even though we may sometimes think about walking away, he'll never stop loving us. Would you bow with me and repeat after me? Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. Let us show you how much we love you. Amen.
Thank y'all very much. Appreciate it.
And now let us show how much we love each other through the passing of the peace. our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the message today is from the Message translation, and it is continuing in the Gospel of Luke, the story of what happened that last week leading up to Easter. Please note, if you have not noted before, that as they celebrate the Passover meal, Jesus turns the meal into a symbolic foretelling of himself becoming the Passover, our Passover. When it was time, he sat down all the apostles with him and said, "You've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and he said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood, blood poured out for you. Do you realize that the hand of the one who is betraying me is at this moment on this table? It's true that the Son of Man is going down a path already marked out, no surprises there, but for the one who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man, this is doomsday." They immediately became suspicious of each other and began quizzing one another, wondering who might be about to do this. Within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest, but Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I've taken my place among you as the one who serves, and you've stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority my Father conferred on me, so you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregations of God's people. Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular that you not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Peter said, "Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you." Jesus said, "I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter, but before the cock crows, you will have three times denied that you know me." Then Jesus said, "When I sent you out and told you to travel light, to take only the bare necessities, did you get along all right?" "Certainly," they said, "we got along just fine." He said, "This is different. Get ready for trouble. Look to what you'll need. There are difficult times ahead. Pawn your coat and get a sword. What was written in Scripture, he has lumped in with the criminals, gets its final meaning in me. Everything written about me is now coming to a conclusion. They said, look, Master, two swords. He said, enough of that. No more sword talk. Leaving there, he went as he so often did to Mount Olives. The disciples followed him. When they arrived at the place, he said, pray that you don't give in to temptation. He pulled away from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, remove this cup from me. But please, not what I want. What do you want? At once an angel from heaven was at his side, strengthening him. He prayed on all the harder. Sweat wrung from him like drops of blood poured off his face. He got up from prayer, went back to the disciples, and found them asleep. He said, what business do you have sleeping? Get up. Pray so you won't give in to temptation. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than a crowd showed up. Judas, the one from the 12 in the lead, he came right up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When those with him saw what was happening, they said, Master, shall we fight? One of them took a swing at the chief priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Jesus said, let them be, even in this. Then touching the servant's ear, he healed him. Jesus spoke to those who had come, high priests, temple police, religious leaders. What is this jumping me with swords and clubs as if I were a dangerous criminal? Day after day I've been with you in the temple and you've not so much as lifted a hand against me. But do it your way. It's a dark night, a dark hour. Arresting Jesus, they marched him off and took him into the house of the chief priest. Peter followed, but at a safe distance. In the middle of the courtyard, some people had started a fire and were sitting around it, trying to keep warm. One of the serving maids sitting at the fire noticed him and then took a second look and said, this man was with him. He denied it. Woman, I don't even know him. A short time later, someone else noticed him and said, you're one of them. But Peter denied it. Man, I am not. About an hour later, someone else spoke up, really adamant. He's got to have been with them. He's a Galilean. It's written all over him. Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. At that very moment, the last word hardly off his lips, a rooster crowed. Just then the master turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered what the master had said to him. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He went and cried, and cried, and cried. The men in charge of Jesus began poking fun at him, slapping him around. They put a blindfold on him and taunted him. Who hit you that time? They were having a grand time with him. When it was morning, the religious leaders of the people and the high priest and scholars all got together and brought him before their high council. They said, are you the Messiah? He answered, if I said yes, you wouldn't believe me. If I asked what you meant by your question, you wouldn't answer me. So here's what I have to say. From here on, the Son of Man takes his place at God's right hand, the place of power. They all said, so you admit your claim to be the Son of God. You're the ones who keep saying it, he said. But they had made up their minds. Why do we need any more evidence? We've all heard him as good as say it himself. Then they all took Jesus to Pilate and began to bring up charges against him. They said, we found this man undermining our law and order, forbidding taxes to be paid to Caesar, setting himself up as a Messiah king. Pilate asked him, is this true that you are king of the Jews? Those are your words, not mine, Jesus replied. Pilate told the high priest and the accompanying crowd, I find nothing wrong here. He seems harmless enough to me. But they were vehement. He's stirring up unrest among the people with his teaching, disturbing the peace everywhere, starting in Galilee and now all through Judea. He's a dangerous man, endangering the peace. When Pilate heard that, he said, so, he's a Galilean. realizing that he properly came under Herod's jurisdiction, he passed the buck to Herod, who just happened to be in Jerusalem for a few days. Herod was delighted when Jesus showed up. He had wanted for a long time to see him. He heard so much about him. He hoped to see him do something. He peppered him with questions. Jesus didn't answer, not one word. But the high priest and religion scholars were right there, saying their piece, strident and shrill in their accusations, mightily offended. Herod turned on Jesus. His soldiers joined in, taunting and jeering. Then they dressed him up in an elaborate king costume and sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became thick as thieves. Always before, they had kept their distance. Then Pilate called in the high priest and rulers and others and said, "You brought this man to me as a disturber of the peace. I examined him in front of all of you and found there was nothing to your charge. And neither did Herod, for he has sent him back here with a clean bill of health. It's clear that he's done nothing wrong, let alone anything deserving death. I'm going to warn him and to watch his step and let him go." At that, the crowd went wild. "Kill him. Give us Barabbas." Barabbas had been thrown in prison for starting a riot in the city and for murder. Pilate still wanted to let Jesus go and so spoke out again, but they kept shouting back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He tried a third time. "But for what crime? I've found nothing in him deserving death. I'm going to warn him to watch his step and let him go." But they kept at it, a shouting mob demanding that he be crucified, and finally they shouted him down. Pilate caved in and gave them what they wanted. He released the man thrown in prison for rioting and murder and gave them Jesus to do whatever they wanted. As they led him off, they made Simon, a man from Cyrene, who happened to be coming in from the countryside, carry the cross behind Jesus. A huge crowd of people followed, along with women weeping and carrying on. At one point, Jesus turned to the women and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. The time is coming when they'll say, 'Lucky the women who never conceived. Lucky the wombs that never gave birth. Lucky the breasts that never gave milk.' Then they'll start calling to the mountains, 'Fall down on us,' calling to the hills, 'Cover us up.' If people do these things to a live green tree, can you imagine what they'll do with dead wood?" Two others, both criminals, were taken along with him for execution. When they got to the place called Skull Hill, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Dividing up his clothes, they threw dice for them. The people stood there staring at Jesus. The ringleaders made faces and taunted. "He saved others. Let him save himself, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Chosen. Ha!" The soldiers also came up and poked fun at him, making a game of it. They toasted him with sour wine. "So you're King of the Jews. Save yourself." Printed over him was a sign which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals, hanging alongside, cursed him, "Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." He said, "Don't worry. I will. You will join me today in paradise." By now it was noon. The whole earth became dark. The darkness lasted 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle. Jesus called loudly, "Father, I place my life into your hands." Then he breathed his last. When the captain there saw what happened, he honored God. This man was innocent, a good man and innocent. All who had come around as spectators to watch the show, when they saw what actually happened, were overcome with grief and headed home. Those who knew Jesus well, along with the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a respectful distance and kept vigil. There was a man by the name of Joseph, a member of the Jewish High Council, a man of good heart and character. He had not gone along with the plans and actions of the council. His hometown was the Jewish village of Arimathea. He lived in alert expectation of the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Taking him down, he wrapped him in a linen shroud and placed him in a tomb chiseled into the rock, a tomb never yet used. It was the day before Sabbath. The Sabbath was just about to begin. The women who had been companions of Jesus from Galilee followed along. They saw the tomb where Jesus' body was placed. Then they went back to prepare burial spices and perfumes. They rested quietly on the Sabbath, as commanded.
Oh,